The following program may contain music-related fun and laughs for all ages. Listening is advised. Wake up, world. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
Yes, we are your hosts. You're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
And who are these hosts?
Well, one of them is
Lippo.
And the other's Big JD.
How we doing, Big JD?
I'm doing okay.
Well, it seems like you have some level issue.
Gotta back the cans off a little bit.
Back the cans off. Get your cans out of my face.
And this is another issue where my mic is, and we don't have booms.
You want boom microphones in here?
Well, boom stand, like a, you know, the
boom.
Other booms.
I got a boom.
Yeah, you got a boom, but still not the kind of boom that you can move around easily. You
don't move around while you're talking.
Yeah. It's a radio boom.
Radio boom usually has what's called a basket.
Yeah, basket, but...
But
well, even if these actually had a basket, we'd have some shock absorption.
That's what we need, some shock absorption, because it's a bumpy ride in this show.
Which you can more easily move the microphones around with the other booms, you know, with the big spring in them.
Yeah, they're nice. But watch out for those springs.
What would you call that boom as opposed to these booms? I call it a radio boom.
Radio boom. That's all I know it for.
Do you remember the radio boom back in 1980?
Yeah, I remember the radio boom. There, everybody used to be in radio. There was a podcast boom, that's for sure.
You're old. You got the voice down.
What'd you say, Shetty? I can't hear a thing you're saying.
So what were you saying?
There's a podcast boom back in the 2005, 2006.
Five, there. Six, whenever we started.
We started in five.
We were early...
Adopters. Yes, we were. We were out in front there, and a lot of people were latching on. I think a lot of the people who subscribed to podcasts back in the day were podcasters.
Yeah, for sure.
It wasn't necessarily that they were listening to your show, but they downloaded them. They had the functionality of actually being able to download something automatically into your computer was a pretty cool thing, the whole RSS concept.
Yeah, to be updated when it's updated, you get updated.
Yeah.
And then syncs to your device too, like all the time. That was cool.
Yeah, so it was just the novelty of that happening. That was nothing else had ever existed before like that. And there was a lot of cool stuff that was out there. I think a lot of the people who were just naturally prone to creating content, they hopped on the bandwagon right away, like your Michael Butlers, your Big JDs and Lippos, your Adam Currys, you know what I mean? They were just right there in the forefront. Leo Laporte's another one. And all those people are still podcasting. Brian Ibbett is another one.
And a lot of the news companies and things like that, I think they got on pretty early.
They got on board eventually. I don't know about
later
early,
than us, but...
Later than us, because you got to get your stuff together, right? And a lot of it was crappy. And there's still a lot of crappy sounding podcasts out there.
Yeah, there are. What's really bad is Blog Talk Radio. It's all done over the phones, and you got to call in to actually do your show. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's poor quality that way.
Well, it's as good as you're going to get out of a telephone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas Skype, it sounds at least as good as this.
Skype is really good. Skype's great these days.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, when I listen to the show that Ken Ray and I do, it's like, I try to... Honestly, I record our conversation as well, just as a backup. He sounds better than I do.
Yeah.
Like, his audio sounds better than I do. I'm not sure how that happens. I don't know if that's something in Audio Hijack that I got to tweak up a little bit, but...
What was the other way we were doing before with GarageBand? Remember that? Way back? iChat? iChat was good because we recorded. You could record both people in GarageBand, and it was just.
Yeah, Apple just totally killed the iChat functionality, because in iChat you could do that, and you could remotely control someone else's computer, all within stuff that came right on your Mac. They got rid of all that.
Yeah.
Why?
I think because there were some standard things out there that I suppose sort of better served the purpose for everybody and was more standard for anyone, you know, like everybody, I mean, using the services, not necessarily recording and everything, but I mean, Skype was a big deal and everybody on Mac and PC uses Skype, you know what I mean? That kind of thing. Which just reminded me that Apple has, doesn't Apple have a Thunderbolt hard drive? Do they have their own Thunderbolt hard external drive?
I don't think they, no.
Oh, okay.
No, they're not in the hard drive business. Mm-hmm. They don't have anything Apple branded in terms of storage.
I thought there was a particular thing or maybe something they endorsed early on.
Well, maybe
they
used
to show on the
website. Yeah, I want to say it was G Drive.
Oh, G Technology, those ones?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I've looked at those too. I've decided to go with an Otherworld Computing drive.
Build your own kind of thing?
Computers, whatever. No, I won't build my own or anything. They have.
But you can choose what enclosure you want, which drive you want.
You can get them empty, and you can do that. But they sell them as 4 terabyte, 8 terabyte, 12, 20, 24, 30, whatever.
30 terabytes?
Yeah.
Where are you going to put all that stuff?
The drive itself or the stuff that's going on it? It's going to go on the drive.
I'm fibbing with you.
I'm going for probably a 16 or 20 terabyte.
Whatever you need. And you want to use Thunderbolt.
Yeah, yeah. Did you see that? What I sent you, the email with Thunderbolt? Do I have Thunderbolt 2 on this? Is it a firmware that makes the difference? Because it's the same plug, right?
It's the same plug,
it
I believe.
Shows,
yeah. But yeah. I'm not sure what you have, though. What makes you think you don't have? You just think
because
you have an
there was Thunderbolt 1.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And this is the earliest.
I'm going to say you have Thunderbolt 1 on that unit.
But is it only a firmware update that changes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm actually going to show you something right now. And this is something I sent you in an email. So all you tech people will kind of understand what I'm doing here. But I'm going to look at the information on my Mac. So, you know, port micro firmware version 2.1.3.
For the Thunderbolt.
Yeah. But it doesn't say anything about whether it's Thunderbolt 1 or Thunderbolt 2. Firmware version 2.2.1. Port. Firmware version 2.1.3.
Right.
So it kind of led me to believe that I might have
Thunderbolt 2.
Thunderbolt 2 on this.
Well, you have to look into that. Search it up. Find out what makes Thunderbolt Thunderbolt 2.
Well, I will. I tried you first.
I'm sorry. I don't know
you're
the answer.
You're my go-to resource.
You know, I have a Thunderbolt port on my iMac as well, but I don't have anything to
use. Use your iMac. It's after mine. 12? 13?
13. Is it 13? Yeah, 13. Yep.
Okay. I'll have to check into it because the drive is Thunderbolt 2, but I'll use a Thunderbolt 1 speed if I...
If that's what you have.
Yeah. Which is still going to be...
It's going to be better.
Fast.
Yeah. Because your Drobos just weren't working out for you.
No, not fast enough.
It doesn't access them fast enough, right?
Read or write.
Right.
It's FireWire, and I think it can be, I don't know if it's their technology or not, but it's...
It's what?
Just a, I think it's a fact of FireWire 800 is just doesn't quite keep up with the demanding software and, you know, high quality, high def video streams and can't do 4K. You know what I mean? These new ones in Thunderbolt drives will handle some major I/O.
I'm wondering what the difference is between I have the FS, which is the it just connects via Ethernet.
Yeah, that's even worse.
It's worse than FireWire.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'm going to say it is anyway.
I find the most frustrating thing with my Drobo is the ability to access it right away. Like, yeah. You know, I can, like, this drive that I just gave you, 2 terabytes of space, just plug in the USB port, and within whatever.
So what do you mean? Four. Even while it's your Drobo's on?
Drobo's on, running, spinning, and then I go to, you know, click on the little thing in the left-hand side, you just hear...
Well, that's your drive spinning up.
Spinning up.
I have something for you for that, actually.
And then, you know, it's...
I have a little piece of software that you can set it for every minute or every 2 or 3 minutes. It just writes to your drive so they never shut off.
Now, does that make the drives wear out sooner? Maybe,
no.
Which is fine.
Well, yeah, if your drives are on constantly.
Yeah, they're spinning more often.
Yeah. I leave mine on 24/7, and I hardly ever had
a drive fail. Problems. And you don't care for drive fails in a Drobo because it's
Drobo.
Covered.
No, Drobos are great, man. It's the number one thing, but I can't get a Drobo that even Drobo says, you know, if you're looking for blazing fast speed, it's not the Drobo.
Right.
It's really made for a purpose, and I guess...
Yeah, there is reason for it. I mean...
They have Thunderbolt Drobos. Terry has the D.
The D?
5, or 5D, or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
But I still don't think it's... matches, and depending on the drives that you put in too, right? So we have these drives that spin down, which are like some kind of green drive. Did you put the drives in?
Yep.
Yeah. Did you get green drives? Western Digital green drive or something?
I got black drives.
Energy saving. Oh, yeah?
I think I got the black drives.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't think those drives would just shut down. Those are supposed to be...
I have no idea. They were on sale, and it was a
Well, this thing
price.
I use anyway, it's great, and you just tell it what drive you want it to do to, and just... It's a little thing. Like if you restart your computer, you have to do it again. I think. Like,
okay.
Because it's just tell it to write all the time.
Okay. I don't know. That's just one of the frustrating things. Like, you know, I want to go look for something on this drive that I got. I keep stuff on there, and it's not on my computer. That's why it's over there.
Yeah.
And it's just the waiting for the whatever it is 8-10 seconds for it to actually show up.
Yeah, we can't wait that few seconds.
Well, no. Like I say, you plug that thing in there and you're ready to go.
I know it's bad for me too because I'll be working on editing something or whatever. You know what I mean? And away from the drive for a while, or some of the stuff is cached or whatever, right? And I need to do something, and then I'm waiting.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the tech segment today on Big JD.
Why aren't you doing a tech segment?
Well, we could be doing a tech segment in this show for sure. And there it was this week. Maybe next week we'll actually have a place for it with a stinger and intros and whatever.
It's getting excited.
But you want to tell the folks what we're actually talking about today?
Yeah, we're talking about hard drives, external hard drives, Thunderbolt. And no, we're talking about music fashion.
Fashion. Oh, that's the tune I should actually have you play. I have a David Bowie tune in the show. We should actually play the tune Fashion. I picked Moon
Isn't
Age.
Isn't there a band called The Fashion?
In Windsor, there was. Nuno.
Oh, right, okay.
Not Nuno, but yeah. Nino.
Nino Betancourt.
That's Nuno Betancourt. I just talked about that guy the other day with the dude at work.
I know.
And who's the singer of the band?
It's
Extreme is the band.
Yeah, I don't know his name.
Gary?
Never cared much for them. Honestly.
He was the singer of the last studio Van Halen album.
Oh, yeah?
The singer from Extreme.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was lame. Gary Sharon was the dude's name.
My Sharon.
Exactly. Okay, so we're talking about fashion. Not in fashion and music. Are we going to be relegating it to modern music? Or are we going to be going way back in the way back?
I think we can talk about, you know, fashion at least that we know of through the ages, I suppose.
Sure. All right. Through the ages.
Elvis with his collar up, you know, that kind of stuff.
Elvis.
The unbuttoned shirts, the big flare jeans and all that stuff.
For sure.
For some news. All kinds of crazy news going on here. Def Leppard adds U.S. dates to 2015 tour.
Why is that crazy?
I don't know. Def Leppard?
Def Leppard, yeah.
Still touring and stuff. And
well, yeah, they're so huge that they're not even on Spotify. They're one of those bands that are like Kid Rock and Taylor Swift. Def Leppard's right in there.
I forgot they even existed.
Def Leppard, yeah. No, they're huge. They are freaking huge. They're probably one of the top 20 bands.
Still playing off the old songs, though, because they haven't really had any hits, have they, for a long time?
Oh, no, they're definitely playing off the old stuff, for sure.
Why can't anybody write hits now? Except for Nickelback.
I think they're done now, too.
Oh, yeah?
I think so.
Oh, gee, that's too bad.
They had a good run, though.
Yeah, I don't even want to carry on the rest of the show.
I don't want to carry on the conversation anymore.
Ringo Starr announces Postcards from Paradise album for March. New Ringo Starr album.
New Ringo. See, there's probably be a ton of hits on there.
Yeah.
He probably has a bunch of his buddies on there, though.
Probably all-star.
All-star,
everything, yeah.
He's going to play all the instruments himself.
Does he? Didn't we at some point we were talking about something Who announcing a big new anniversary best of thing or something? I was kind of laughing about it because that's, you know, the Who, do they really need another? But this is a 50th anniversary vinyl reissue.
50th anniversary. I think
so.
That's,
it looks
just
like it's a whole, like, all their albums in vinyl now, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I think that's what that's the whole thing. We have awesome remastering technology out there. So they want to remaster, and then it can slap it on vinyl.
Will the vinyl sound better then than the, do they remaster and put it on vinyl, and then it's even better than the original vinyl?
Better than the original, yeah. And better is, of course, in the eye of the beholder, or the ear of the beholder, I would have to think. Because basically you're just tweaking the sound, right? Like you're making sure all the frequencies are nice and even. And
That would make a huge difference, I guess. I'm be interested in hearing like remastered album. I don't think I've ever heard of like a remastered record album. Because I haven't listened to records for
so long. I haven't heard them either, but I know they exist. I want to say the Zeppelin.
But when we were listening to record albums, nobody ever remastered at that time.
No.
And re-put out a record album. A couple other quick things. Geezer Butler arrested for, I don't know, assault, beating somebody up. He was drunk and disorderly in a bar in California.
And tell everybody what Geezer Butler is.
The bass player and key songwriter for Black Sabbath. Nikki Sixx says he'll play on stage naked if New England wins the Super Bowl. Is Motley Crue, what is it, comeback?
This is their
naked,
final
the
tour.
Naked show?
This is it.
They're still on that? Okay.
It goes till the end of 2015.
30 years ago, superstars assemble for We Are the World session. Remember that?
We are the world.
And did you remember the Hearing Aid one that Dio put together?
Yep.
Later on, I had a lot of cool
people. Everybody put one out after that.
And then lastly for me, Randy Rhoads' family loses a legal bid to stop a book publication. So a book commemorating the life and brief but brilliant career of guitarist Randy Rhoads will be allowed to go forward. A judge sided. And why would they stop that, really? Unless it was just because they don't have anything, no control on it, of it or anything. It's a family.
I don't think they have any control of it. That's probably what the deal is.
So then I wonder why, you know, really a judge would side with doing that if a family is, you know what I mean, against it or.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Now, you mentioned Black Sabbath. I had heard at some point that Tony Iommi is like in really bad shape. Do you know anything about that?
Well, I know that he has cancer and he's gone through chemo and everything, but I haven't heard anything like real recently that he's gone downhill or anything. Hmm. Did you hear that?
That he wasn't going to be able to tour.
I want to say last thing I heard, they might have postponed some dates or something like that, and then I thought they were doing them, and I think that's what I heard. Something.
Okay.
But he's done now. He can't play.
Yeah, I think the possibility of him playing is not good.
Wow.
Yeah, we're getting old. Like when people like Malcolm Young and Tony Iommi, they're still alive, but they just can't do it. I mean, I think we're going to see a little bit more of that.
Oh, I think we're going to see a lot more of that.
As time goes on.
Yeah. That's very unfortunate.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. These guys are still here, but they're just not here.
And I was just thinking today, like, how much we see of these artists nowadays, it's really changed things for me in the way that I, you know, in the past would idolize these icons. And now it's like, you know, everything about them, you see them all the time, interviews, their political views, their world views, their,
sure.
You know what I mean? And,
yep.
And it's just like, they're either you get tired of hearing about them now, and this is somebody you might have idolized before, or it's, you know everything about them, you realize they're just like me, they're just like everybody, you know what I mean? And it's not the same anymore.
No, it isn't.
Whereas
the same.
When you didn't really know them, mm-hmm. and there was this secretive essence about them and their, you know, like Jimmy Page
was good for that,
living in Aleister Crowley's castle and the music, and there was always a mystique, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there was always
and now
mystique.
It's just so out there and in your face, and
I think some guys have controlled it. I think they realize that there was this mystique, and I think politicians also know this very well, that the less you say and the more that you're keep to yourself, the more loyal your fan base will be and the more marketable you'll be. And you keep your whatever that is, your persona is the same, even though it might not be the real you. That's the way Keith Richards was too. And he admits that in his book, like, you know, all these rumors were spread about him, all this bad boy stuff. And he never said anything to deny it, even though, you know,
it might not have been
the normal guy would say, well, no, I didn't do any of that crazy shit. You know, That's not what happened at all, but he just quiet. And so his reputation built to a certain point that didn't reflect reality at all.
Yeah.
So that, there was that cool aspect.
And you have a piece of news?
No, we're done. And I mean, we can only talk so much about music. I had really a lame story about Rick Springfield, who I thought
that is lame. Moving on.
See, you think of Rick Springfield as a certain thing, but he actually
the guy that was in a TV show not that long ago.
I have no idea.
Somebody in one of the, was it Rick Springfield? Yeah, he was in a show. I think it was, geez, the wife of somebody was dated. Sex in the City. I think it was Rick Springfield was on that.
Oh, was
for
he?
A while.
That's a long time
was
ago.
Was it him or who's the another? Who's the guy that did Jack and Diane? John Cougar. No, I think it was Rick Springfield. Anyway.
Yeah, he's one of those guys who got turned into. Got turned into a marketing thing. But he was really a rock dude, like, you know, and he just got he got marketed the wrong way, and he was part of the Sound City thing. He was the first guy, actually. He's not the first guy who recorded there, but he was the first guy that Sound City took, the guys who owned that, and they wanted to make their own star as opposed to people coming in and making albums.
Him?
Rick Springfield was financed from those guys.
Wow.
Yep. So.
There's a tidbit for you.
Tidbit.
All right. So.
On with the fashion.
Okay. Fashion, the song.
Sure. We're going to play David Bowie's Fashion right now. That's David Bowie's Fashion. That's from Scary Monsters, the album. And it's interesting that Fashion is a song that he wrote. I went and saw that exhibit at... Exhibit. It was in Toronto. What's the name of the museum there? It's not coming to me.
CN Tower?
Yeah, that's it.
Rock of Ages?
No, so. Doesn't matter. But rock he was... the way that he got his personas was through clothes that were designed for him, but he basically was the guy who sketched everything out. He was an amazing artist musically, but he's also an actual artist. Mm-hmm. He would sketch stuff out, just stuff in his mind, kind of crazy stuff. And he was influenced a lot by Japanese outfits, like old traditional Japanese stuff. Mm-hmm. And through that exhibit, there wasn't just music and photos and movies and stuff. A lot of it was the stuff that he wore because it was out there. And once he went through one phase, he just basically got rid of it and moved on to something else. There was Spiders from Mars. He was Ziggy Stardust. And then he was the Scary Monster dude. And then he was the Thin White Duke. And, you know, he had all these different personas that he portrayed through on his albums. And also when he went on tour, he had all these... costume changes and stuff that he went through. So he was really in the forefront of fashion in music, in so much that he was in control of what he looked like, right down to the, you know, the kind of scenes he had and that kind of stuff.
It was also a big thing as far as gimmick, you know, wearing those kinds of things, and like a lot of artists do, and some of them it's like a trademark.
Sure, but I don't think he was gimmicky at all, only because he thought of himself as an artist first, and he just thought if his stuff took off, well, that was good. And I think he realized that he had a talent. People told him, you know, you're a talented artist. So he just went ahead and did what he felt like he wanted to do. It wasn't necessarily something that he wanted to do to sell albums, I don't think. I think he wanted to be successful at whatever he did, because I think he just fell into music, and that was the one thing that actually blossomed into something that was really big.
I think he comes from a time, though, when it was important to have a gimmick, or a manager would say, you got to have a gimmick. There's got to be something.
You know, yeah, I mean? For sure. I think it's even true today, but I don't know if he was really all.
Maybe not the same for him, because he was into that
kind
of stuff. It wasn't he had to be forced into a gimmick or anything like
right.
that.
Right, and he was associated with Andy Warhol as well, who was an artist who was kind of, you know, on the forefront and, you know, making news and stuff that he, you know, it was a time, you're right, where new ideas were blossoming and there wasn't so much restriction on artistic ideas and what was presented to the public. A lot of stuff, you know, was...
Some was natural, yeah. Like, I guess Bowie's was more natural. Same with Black Sabbath, I guess, their persona of being satanic, you know what I mean? I don't think it was a gimmick or anything. It's just the way their music was and the way they wrote. I don't think they set out to have a gimmick of being, you know, a satanic band.
Right, it was dark music.
Yeah.
Which, how do you get dark music?
And then they kind of fall into this, you know, how do you get dark music? I don't know.
Play in minor modes.
Play with the lights out. Yeah, minor modes. There you go.
That's what it was all about, getting minorish and heavy. They invented heavy, I think. Mm-hmm. Or at least were one of the inventors of heavy. They had that awesome sound. Now, what about Black Sabbath Fashion? That kind of was... organic as well, because they were from Birmingham, and they were just some lads from Birmingham, and I think as they...
Not much fashion there, though, with Black Sabbath.
No, there wasn't.
Some dark black clothes to match what they did, I guess.
Right. Some were they on the leather thing? Because I want to talk about leather and rock. And
no, not really.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I mean, Iommi's kind of always worn a leather jacket playing, but nothing, you know, it seems to be a longer... leather coat and...
Oh, now, yeah. He's into the long leather coat. But there was the Rock and Roll Circus when he played with Jethro Tull.
Did he not have a coat on then, too, though?
No, once he had a white...
he have a hat, too?
He might have had a hat. Had a white SG, was he playing?
Yeah, something like that. No, it wasn't an SG. It was a Fender.
Yeah, Strat, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah. Something that he was not normally playing, because he is an SG guy. But it was white.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting what people do put on.
Did you ever wear anything specific that was you wore when you played and you didn't wear normally? Because that's another thing, too. It's something like you put on your live band persona,
for sure,
you know, kind of thing. So absolutely, you might put some wristbands on or whatever. You, yeah, yeah. We did some major stuff.
I bet you did.
Yeah,
you got to do it up. Yeah. We used to play with a guy named Bobby Gwen. He probably, I think he still sings here.
I
and
remember
there.
The name, yeah.
And I got the sense that he didn't have a lot to choose from in his closet, so he would always ask, "Are we wearing our boots and belts?" That's what he'd say. Is this a boots and belts gig?
Yeah, we had to make some of our guys. So sometimes we get a new bass player. Well, you got to do this. You got to wear this at least, like something. You know what I mean?
Right. You had to wear
we had
something.
One particular bass player I can remember that was didn't. He looked out of place, kind of in the band, right?
But right.
You know, we had him wear a bullet belt or something and a couple of wrist things, and then he looked.
Yeah. I remember we played a gig at we were the very first Sunsplash. We were on the back of a
the heck not Sunsplash. The
back of, yeah, Sunsplash in Bell River, and we were on a trailer, like a flat. Bed trailer kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And I just pulled up the footage from somebody shot that. I think it was my ex-wife. And she got the band playing. And over in the corner, there's me. And I got like a t-shirt, like a tie-dye t-shirt and shorts.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
I want to say that the shorts were tie-dye, too. And everybody else was like jeans. It was nighttime. And I'm wearing shorts and a t-shirt. And these guys are all like, I think Kevin had pleather on, pleather pants.
Uh-huh. Well, I remember back in the day, we normally
no sense of fashion.
I'd have jeans on that were like black leather laced up the side, and you know, cool shirts. And some of them we made, some of them, you know. But there are times. I mean, I've got videos of shows that we've done out in the summer in the parks, and I'm running around with nothing but shorts on and running shoes. And you know what I mean, like so, yeah. So it's like night and day between like us doing a show in a bar or something. But it was like, you know, all kids around and stuff. Like, it's just all ages, right? And we yes. never really got to, I mean, we did do a lot of that, but normally we didn't. Like, we were in bars and stuff like that. So we were playing for young people and kids, and it was just a lot of fun. So it was like, we never really worried about that stuff.
The clothes you wore were not a big priority.
But other than, I mean, early days of Wicked Angel was spandex and chains. We had chains on our boots, and we had big studded,
armbands.
Yeah. What do you call those though?
There's a name for them besides
not
armbands?
A gauntlet, but, yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a name for those things.
Really?
Yeah. I think they call those gauntlets too. But anyways, with big leather, studs. Leather and studs on them and chains hanging from them and everything. We made them all. We used to go to Henley's Leather, buy all the studs and everything and just put them on, make our whole thing and lace them all up. It was crazy. It took hours to put on and off. I had a neck collar one like that with a skull on it hanging.
That's cool.
I don't remember
where
I got that skull, but it was really cool.
Very cool.
Crazy stuff.
So we're going to play some Wicked Angel right now?
No.
Oh, dang. What should we play?
We should, though. Some Iggy Pop, actually, you played
Bowie.
His buddy Bowie there.
Right. Iggy was
which
known
I like Iggy's China Girl better than Bowie's, but...
Oh, for sure. Iggy was known for he was known for not wearing any shirts.
Anything.
Oh, he probably was naked many times, yeah.
But, what I chose... I went by song. I didn't go by artist. So I have Iggy Pop, his song Shades, because Shades are such a big part of rock and roll and music, and you know what I mean?
For sure.
And then I got some other stuff coming up, ZZ Top, Blue Jean Blues, because jeans are like, you know, a staple. And
okay.
And Iron Maiden, Die With Your Boots On. Boots are, you know, kind of associated with music.
Sure.
We'll get into that.
It's funny how you take a different tack than I do all the time.
So this is Shades, Iggy Pop, from Blah Blah Blah. I'm not the kind of guy
my eyes shines from you. It makes me calm in the night. It makes me swim. They cost a lot. I hope I don't break up. I hope we don't break up. I'm not the kind of guy who dresses like a king.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
So yeah, as much as I wear shades, I never got into wearing shades while I played.
No, I found it too hard.
Yeah, I think if I got to look at my neck, I can't see or anything else. And reading words and everything, it's a little bit...
Reading words? What?
Yeah, well, now it's not bad because the iPads are bright, right? But before, if you read a binder or it's on the floor, like no hope. But outdoors, I think I would have to. And I don't know. I don't think I played with them on in the past, but I think now I might. I'm very sensitive.
Obviously.
My eyes are very sensitive.
That's very interesting. I think there was one tune that we used to do that we would throw the glasses, and I totally forget. It might have been ZZ Top's Cheap Sunglasses. But I found it very hard to...
Well, that would have been a good song.
Yeah. I found it very hard to see my neck. And there's times when you're on stage and it's dark and the lights change. It's very hard to see my neck, unless I'm in a mirror, that's for sure. But it's interesting. You say, talk about reading words, and we got a gig this Saturday with, we're using Darren Grundy as a bass player.
Yeah. Well, he's been playing with you for a bit now, hasn't he?
Well, just the King Friday gigs.
Yeah.
Which we haven't done a King Friday gig in
a while. Hasn't been that long.
Where did we play last? I thought it was at the Biker Bash.
Was the Biker Bash?
Yeah.
And, was that after? What about Halloween or something?
I don't remember playing Halloween. But anyway, he's so he's so against people reading charts and words and stuff.
Reading charts even?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, no.
That's what I'm reading. I'm not talking about lyrics. I read all my stuff's note for note.
But that's funny that he's just so against the words. I know people like Tom Lockwood, amazing, you know, renowned throughout the country.
Yeah.
You know, he'll still refer to a chart now and then.
Well, there's a lot of international artists that are using
teleprompters.
Prompters, sure.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing, too, is that you may know the song, but you can't mess up. You can't.
You can mess up.
Well, no.
Especially
people are paying big money. You're a big star, and you shouldn't be messing up the lyrics. It shouldn't happen. And to ensure that it doesn't, you need a teleprompter.
But then
it's got to be there for
begin
you.
To rely on the teleprompter. Just that's why you...
Well, I do.
Yeah. See, I think once you 100%. Start...
100%. I couldn't do a show without having my lyrics. Period. It'd be all instrumental. I could do it, and I don't mind. I have no problem with it, but I wouldn't
but
be
able
to sing.
If you want me to sing, I cannot.
Can't remember. Sing without the words.
Interesting.
Period. Any song, whether it was mine or anybody else's.
See, that's just the way different minds work, I guess. But anyway, back to the fashion thing. The one band that comes to mind as far as fashion goes was Judas Priest.
Mm.
And because I remember seeing
lots
them.
Lots of leather.
Lots of leather, but I remember seeing them on the old Grey Whistle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, way back.
Yeah. And they had this flowing...
well, that changes set. With the times too, right?
From what I heard, that he would find out about these leather shops, because, of course, Rob Halford is a gay person.
You heard it here first, folks.
No, you didn't. And he would visit these leather shops, and then he realized, well, maybe this is what we should be wearing on stage. So that's what got them into the leather.
But then again, no one was dressing like him on stage.
Really. No, not
it
at
was,
the...
You know, pretty much... I mean, his band wore some cool garb, but he was dressed up as a masochist, basically. The cap and the whip. And
the whip,
you know,
yeah.
The whole thing, yeah.
Which is, yeah, masochistic sex domination.
Yeah, yeah. It was all about that, yeah.
Yeah.
Slash... biker look, because he also brought a bike out on stage and, you know, is
sure.
kind of part of that. But
a lot of people never have put that together with a gay man. And I remember I was shocked when I heard about it.
Yeah, I had no idea.
But then once you realize, okay, that's no big deal. I mean, but there's lots of gay guys who are in bands that I really like a lot.
Yeah. What bands?
Queen.
Okay.
Elton John, who are playing some of today.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's
a lot of gay artists.
Yeah, and they're awesome. You can't judge someone's artistic output by their sexual preference.
Sexual preference doesn't bother me at all.
No, but I think for guys who didn't know, and you know, there's this letter, this masochistic and male-driven thing, like, you know.
But I didn't know Freddie Mercury was either.
You didn't know?
No, he pranced around like a little princess on stage. But I had, I had no idea he was gay until like later, around the time when I found out he had the AIDS or whatever.
Oh, really?
I never knew he was gay. Okay. Was he open about it? Like all his career?
Well, it has to go back to what we were talking about before. Was the mystique thing? Like, you know, they're
You just don't know these things.
You just don't know because they're not.
Was it ever in magazine? Like, you know, you'd read some stuff in old Cream magazines and stuff like that. But I never read about anybody being gay or anything. Like, you know. Except Elton John was probably the only one he always knew was gay.
Flamboyant, yeah. That's the thing, when you're flamboyant and have some kind of feminine thing
going on. Yeah, but I think he was just open all-time about it. I don't remember there being a time where Elton John...
was with a woman.
No, or that he... You know, I think it was just... he was out his whole life, wasn't he?
I think so, pretty much.
But some people like Halford and... I don't know about Queen, but Halford was... never came out until later.
He was definitely in a closet, for sure.
And I don't know that anybody cared when he came out.
Yeah, probably
Judas Priest, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. They were more up in arms when he left the band and what's-his-name replaced him.
Bon Jovi. In the movie.
Bon Jovi in the movie? What are you talking about?
I don't know. Wasn't Bon Jovi in the Rockstar movie about Judas Priest with Marky Mark?
Was it Bon Jovi, really? I don't remember
that. He was in that, wasn't he? I don't know. No, he wasn't the main guy. It was Steel Dragons guy or something.
Oh, I forget. I don't know.
I want to say Bon Jovi was in that, though.
I'm trying to think of the guy's name who it is, though. The guy who actually replaced him. He's good. I forget his name, though.
Right? That replaced Halford?
Yeah.
Oh, Ripper Owens.
Ripper. That's it. Yeah.
Jack the Ripper Owens. Yep, no, it wasn't Jack. But.
No, it wasn't Jack. It was Ripper Owens, for sure. I know his real name is Daryl or something like
that. Yeah, he was good.
He was very good. I seen him with...
no Rob Halford.
Who did I see him with?
Judas Priest, perhaps?
Yngwie.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Sang for Yngwie.
Yeah.
Very good. But what are we going to be listening to next?
Mona Lisa's and Mad Hatters.
From Madman Across the Water, I believe, Elton John.
Now I know Spanish Harlem are not just pretty words to say. I thought I knew, but now I know that rose trees never grow in New York City. Until you've seen this trash can dream come true, you stand at the edge while people run you through. And I thank the Lord there's people out there like you. I thank the Lord there's people out there like you. While Mona Lisa's and Mad Hatters, sons of bankers, sons of lawyers, turn around and say good morning to the night. For unless they see the sky, but they can, and that is why. They know not if it's dark outside or light. With God, it's got a lot of songs to sing. If I knew the tunes, I might join in. I go my way alone, grow my own seed shall be sown in New York City. Subway's no way for a good man to go down. Rich man can ride, and the hobo, he can drown. And I thank the Lord for the people I have found. I thank the Lord for the people I lawyers turn around and say good morning to the night. For unless they see the sky, but they can, and that is why. You know not if it's dark outside or light. Now I know Spanish Harlem are not just pretty words to say. to go down. Rich man can ride, and the hobo he can drown. And I thank the Lord for the people I have found. I thank the Lord for the people I have found. While Mona Lisa's and Mad Hatters, sons of bankers, sons of lawyers, turn around and say good morning to the night. For unless they see the sky, but they can, and that is why. They know not if it's dark outside or light. They know not if it's dark outside or light.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
We're back and we're talking about music fashion.
That's right. Movers, shakers in the fashion industry.
Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
She wears some wild, weird things, doesn't she?
She sure does. She has many costume changes. She's got her head about her, pretty much, which is cool. I kind of like her for that. She's
quite the marketer.
Yeah, that's what the music industry is now. It's kind of, you want to say almost everything's been done as far as, you know, putting stuff out there. And now the stuff that's been done, countries trying to take it on so that they can take the reins and then they're trying to incorporate rap and rock and I can't distinguish.
They've come a long way from old country.
Yeah, like anyway. It sounds like Three Days Grace tunes are on country stations because there's a guy at work.
And the recordings are phenomenal on a lot of it now. Sound great.
Did you happen to see that thing that I put up? I think I put it on Facebook. It was it was in Logic, I think, and it was six different songs. And they're all hit songs within the last 4 or 5 years. Maybe not even that long. I'm going to say in the last 3 years. And it was all basically the same song. They put one song right on top of each other.
Just the same. And
they sound the same. Same speed and everything.
Same speed, same keys, same structure.
Same structure, yeah, exactly.
Well, there's kind of a formula.
That's what they're saying. It's all formula. So what we're listening to is formulas. That going back to Nickelback, that's what he realized. Hey, I'm just following a formula, and I'm just going to write these songs based on this formula. I'm not going to be inspired by anything at all. I'm just going to write to this formula.
Yeah, that was just done for the purpose of
making money.
Yeah, yeah.
Getting hit radio songs. That's crap.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask me, it's not real.
If you naturally can write well, doing what you want to do and not
follow a formula,
that's all the difference there. But a lot of people can't replicate once they've had a hit either.
Right. Yeah.
Actually, somebody that we just interviewed, Eddie Money, for SouthDetroitSoundhouse.com, and he had a lot of hits, like 12, 13 number one hits.
Wow.
He was able to replicate that.
Did he write, though?
Over and over. I want to say, yeah, he wrote songs, and he may have co-wrote and stuff or wrote with his band.
Okay.
But I think he had...
Just like Ronnie said.
A lot of good stuff he had. A lot of good hits.
Yeah, for sure.
He's another guy I'd play for. Him and Huey Lewis.
Come on.
Yeah, man. There's just something about their straight ahead rock kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That I want to really say gets that, me. And their voices, they both have unique voices.
Yeah, they do.
And I like that.
They're kind of similar in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit.
Weren't they both cops?
Huey Lewis was a cop?
I want to say he was a cop.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But I may be wrong. I thought hospice was only for women.
Yeah, and his fashion was, he always was, for the most part, just like, kind of, casual attire. It wasn't jeans and it was, you know what I mean? He'd have dress pants on. Mm-hmm. And he was like that from way back.
Right. Never fell into a certain.
Didn't have the hard rock look, you know what I mean?
Right.
He did. He was your hair and whatever, but.
He was like your everyday rocker kind of guy. you could relate to him just by looking at him. Hey, you're one of us guys, you know. You know what I mean? That was his appeal.
Yeah, a little part. More towards that, I guess, yeah.
That's what I'm thinking anyway.
He was like not a kids or bubblegum or hard, heavy rock, or you know what I mean?
No.
He was like for every like regular people kind of thing.
And if you were a purist, you would think he was like too vanilla-ish, I guess. But for guys like you who understand, you know, musicianship and had a certain appeal that was uniquely his, that's
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, most of my friends would laugh at me for the music I liked back at all through, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I listened to everything, and I mean everything. Like Barry Manilow, Billy Joel, like all this stuff was great to me.
Right.
But everybody else was listening only to hard rock and, you know, metal or whatever was going on at that time. But I liked everything. Always have. I like it for the music. If it was good, it sounded good, or you know what I mean?
Kind sure, of, it appealed to
whatever.
There's something
I was
about it,
in
yeah.
all that, where everybody else was just like, some it's got to be this.
Right. Some people would call that a guilty pleasure, but you just, it was that's what I'm into. I'm into into it all.
It didn't matter what it was, as long as it was whatever I liked. But
I just listened to, or I just watched a movie about Alice Cooper, who was also, he had a definite horror movie theme as far as what he portrayed. And the thing about Alice Cooper was Alice was a character that was created. Actually, Alice Cooper was the name of the band initially. That was the band name. The person was not Alice Cooper. It's like Lynyrd Skynyrd and someone in the band being called Lynyrd Skynyrd, or even, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Alice Cooper was just the name of the band. And the way they got that was through a Ouija board, but if you don't know that story. But the name of the movie is Super Duper Alice Cooper. I highly recommend you go download that or however else you can get it. It's on iTunes, so you can rent it or buy it or whatever you do. But his a big part of his, the way they got their the look they had, someone turned them on in Los Angeles to a secondhand store that sold clothes by the pound in bags. Okay. So there was old Ice Capades uniforms or costumes, whatever you want to call them. And they bought, 5 or 25 pounds of these clothes and brought them back. And they just picked all the stuff they wanted. It was like dirt. It was like $1 a pound or something. So they scooped up these Ice Capade stuff. So they were all wearing somewhat feminine clothes, especially Alice, whose name is Vincent Furnier. And so that was his look. But when he was not in the band, they were just regular guys, which was, you know, interesting that when they went out, there was no makeup. And makeup was a big thing, which is part of fashion as well. That was part of the thing, the makeup that you wore.
Makeup, a lot of gimmick there, too. I mean, they had the stage antics and the, you know, all the different things that they did on stage and stuff like that.
The snakes, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And Dick Wagner's big hat. Like Slash wears now, top hat. He always wore a top hat and a long coat.
I wonder if Slash was a fan of Dick's.
I'm sure he was.
Yeah, I'm sure he was too, because they both have, you know, their thing is the tasty licks that, you know, fit the song perfectly usually.
And speaking of Alice Cooper,
we're going to be playing, the tune is Dead Babies, and I believe
that's from Killers.
Is it off Killers?
Or Killer, actually, I think it's called. I'm getting confused now with the Iron Maiden I got coming up, but
okay.
Which is not from Iron Maiden Killers, but
right.
Dead got Babies. Maiden on the brain.
This is Dead Babies, and this is from the Alice Cooper group, not to be confused with Alice Cooper after he did the...
Or not to be confused with the band Dead Babies. That was... Is there Dead Babies after somebody
I'm
did?
I'm not sure. But anyway, this is Dead Babies, Alice Cooper.
From the shelf up on the wall, Betty's mommy wasn't there to save her. She didn't even hear her baby call.
almost every night. Little Betty's sleeping in the graveyard, living there in burgundy and white. Dead.
From the oil and the gasoline. my blue jeans. Lord, how happy could one man be? If I ever get back my blue jeans, Lord, how happy could one man be? Cause if I get back those blue jeans, you know my baby be bringing them home to me.
Top, Blue Jean Blues. Blue jeans have always been, big in the fashion world outside of music, but as well inside music. Blue jeans are...
It's a uniform.
Yeah.
Rock and roll uniform. If you're into punk rock and you weren't wearing blue jeans, what the hell are you doing? So that's wrapping it up for the fashion show. Next week, we're going to be talking about what it takes to be a touring band, going on a tour.
Mm-hmm.
What you got to bring with you.
How to set that up. Traveling with equipment. What if you're flying?
That's right. How much money
you got. I just read a big article on flying with your instruments, your guitar.
Save it for the show.
So, yeah, there you go. So, that'll be next week on Big JD and Lipo in the Morning, and we're going to leave you with some Iron Maiden.
All right.
Not some. We'll play a whole song, actually. And this is Die With Your Boots On. Boots, a big staple of the music world.
For sure.
Kiss comes to mind.
Oh, yeah. Lots of belts and boots and buckles.
That's all I wear. Boots. That's all I wear.
Yikes. Anyway, thanks a lot for listening, everybody. See you next week.
Bye.
Next week for more Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. Subscribe to the podcast free in iTunes and don't forget to like